Those feelings and questions we just heard are so real, so raw, so relevant for our world today. There's something right here in December of 2020 where we are longing for peace. We're longing for peace of mind, peace in our families, peace in our schools, peace on our jobs. We ultimately are looking for peace on earth. For many of us, those thoughts of peace and calm, they seem like they are a world away during this difficult time in history, during 2020. Yet, friends, at the very heartbeat of the good news of Christmas is this promise of peace. Think about it. Hundreds of years before Jesus, the Messiah, is born, a prophet Isaiah makes this prophecy. He says, "A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Just a few months before Jesus' birth, a prophet named Zechariah echoes the prophecy of Isaiah when he says these words, "This Messiah who's going to be born, he will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and he will guide us to the path of peace." The night that Jesus is born, an angel shows up and he says, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." Jesus, during his public ministry, he talked often of peace. One of his disciples, John, wrote down one of Jesus' most poignant statements about peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus makes this statement, "I am leaving you with a gift of peace, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." We hear all of these prophecies about peace. We hear the promise of peace from Jesus. And maybe we look at our world today and we wonder, does Jesus really understand what peace would look like in 2020? Or is he just out of touch with the reality of life today? Sometimes we might think the promise of peace today is about as far-fetched as the phrase delicious fruitcake. It just doesn't seem to compute. Peace seems to be missing at this time in the history of our world. Yet there's no denying the prophecies about Jesus. There's no denying the promise of Jesus. He wants peace to prevail in our lives. And I want you to know that Jesus promises peace with a full understanding of the chaos that can occur on this planet. Jesus was born into a time of chaos when the world seemed to be spinning in turmoil and difficulty. Jesus was born, lived, died, and rose again at a very challenging time in the history of the world. God the Father chose this challenging time in history for the birth of Jesus the Messiah. And at first glance, it looks like God chose the wrong time because there seems to be all sorts of roadblocks to his plan. I mean, there's this Roman census, and then there's Mary and Joseph taking an exhausting trip from their hometown down to Bethlehem. There's no room for them in an inn. They wind up in a stable. And then there's this murderous king named Herod who tries to take the life of Jesus. And there's a subsequent trip then by this little family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, to Egypt for survival. You look at all of that chaos and turmoil and you think, how could this have been the right time? And yet God in His wisdom, God in His unending love for us, picked this time of uncertainty and fear for the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Restorer, the Rescuer, to come to earth. And it reminds us that today, as we fast forward in our thoughts to 2020 from the first Christmas, we are reminded that God is neither ignoring us, nor is He ignorant of what's happening in our world. Jesus promises peace, and He extends that promise to us in the middle of a world filled with stress, chaos, noise, turmoil, and a virus. So how do we understand this promise of peace? How do we make it personal? How could we find this missing piece? Well, we're going to be talking about the missing piece throughout this Christmas season, throughout the month of December. We're going to unpack the promises of peace that Christmas offers to us and Jesus offers to us. And we're going to figure out what it looks like to find peace of mind, peace in our relationships, peace about the future. Today, we're going to start by talking for a few moments about prevailing peace. It's a concept that we find in Scripture that is so meaningful, and it's a wonderful opening to our December series called The Missing Piece. To help us begin to understand how Jesus' promise of peace is personal to us, I want to share a couple of words with you from a follower of Jesus named Paul. He helps us begin to understand how to make this promise of peace personal. And so he in several of his letters references this peace of Jesus. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes these words. He says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation." And then in another letter in Colossians, Paul writes this challenge to us. He says, "You should let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Let it rule in your hearts. Now, when you look at that past passages of Scripture, you quickly begin to realize that this kind of peace that's being talked about in Scripture, that Jesus promised and Paul is explaining to us, this peace is very different than what we see in our everyday life. In our world, as we live every single day, we often live as if peace is dependent on our circumstances. We think that it all has to do with what's happening in our world around us, what's swirling in our environment. Sometimes it seems that peace is present or absent just based on this thing called circumstances. For instance, peace seems to be present or absent based on our paycheck or the absence of a paycheck if we've gotten laid off. Our peace might seem to be present or absent based on whether the dishwasher is working or whether it's shooting water all over the kitchen floor. Peace might seem to be present or absent based on whether we are working remotely or at the office, or whether we're doing school in person or online. Now, there's no question that our circumstances are going to affect us. Some are going to frustrate us. But should they actually destroy the sense of peace that's in our hearts and in our minds? Well, let's ask it this way. Should peace dissolve in the face of difficulty? According to what Paul said, we should let Christ's peace control and rule all areas of our life. And according to what Paul said, this God of peace, this Jesus who offers peace, should give us peace at all times and in every situation. This promise of peace that Jesus offers as a gift, it's not to be based on outward circumstances. It's not to be there only if we have no problems. In fact, Jesus is very clear that we can have a calm spirit in spite of exterior chaos. We can recognize danger without being overwhelmed by it. We can acknowledge threats without being defined by them. Because of Jesus' peace, we should be able to experience peace in our heart and mind and soul, even when others are pushing the panic button. Because here's the key: prevailing peace is based on a relationship with Christ that transcends our circumstances. You might want to just pause and read that out loud. Prevailing peace is based on a relationship with Christ that transcends our circumstances. Real peace, prevailing peace, is having a relationship with Jesus, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, knowing that we have a purpose in life. Prevailing peace is knowing that there is hope for tomorrow. Real peace is knowing that God will never stop loving us and that His arms are always open, welcoming us. Real peace is knowing that God is never surprised by the reality of this world and that He promises to always give us strength to make it through every storm. Real peace, prevailing peace, is living by God's truth so that I can avoid a lot of the needless hang-ups, hurts, and habits that could mess up my life. Real peace, prevailing peace, is knowing that if I ask God for wisdom, He has promised to give it to me. Paul said, you can have peace in every situation, in every circumstance, because of this God of peace. And he challenges us to let this peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Now, I'd like for you to just think with me for a moment about this word rule that Paul uses. In this particular passage of Scripture, Paul uses a word that comes from the athletic world of the Roman culture. The word rule was referencing an umpire or a referee that would settle every dispute or a disagreement that happened in an athletic contest. These rulers or umpires, refs, they were to know the rules, and they were to make sure the same standards and same judgments were used for every athlete. And we know this from our world today, the sports world today. Right now, we are in the middle of a football season. And we know that every game starts with two teams on the field facing off against each other. And we hope when the game begins that it will be an epic battle, a duel for victory. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. If you're a Lions fan, you seldom are able to describe the game as an epic battle, other than an epic defeat. But we still have hope for the future, right? And so stay with me. When a game begins, there's this two teams on the field getting ready to do battle, trying to gain victory. And as the game begins, our attention is focused on two teams. And we sometimes forget that there actually is a third team that is also on the field. Sooner or later, this third team, wearing striped uniforms, are going to be intricately involved in this game because it's their responsibility to make sure that in every aspect of the game, the rules are followed. These team officials, they're not committed to either team that's playing on the field. Their ultimate commitment is to the rule book. They're on the field to make sure that every aspect of the game comes under the authority of the rule book. And Paul says, the peace of Christ should dictate what happens in your life. When you're on the playing field of life, when there's a conflict, when there's disagreement, when there's challenge, when there's difficulty, the peace of Christ should be the prevailing authority in your heart. The peace of Christ should determine your response to difficulty. It should determine how you resolve conflict in your family or in other relationships. The peace of Christ should dictate how you respond to difficulty on the job or even being laid off. The peace of Christ, it should dictate how you respond to a pandemic. The peace of Christ should determine how we respond to people with whom we disagree. Prevailing peace rules in our lives when we submit every area of life to the peace of Christ. Paul says, this peace of Christ that is promised, it should be the determining factor of your life. It should dominate your life. Every part of who you are should be brought into submission and surrender to this peace of Christ. There is no area of your life, there is no desire of your heart, there is no worry about the future where the peace of Christ will not prevail if you submit it to Him. Paul is very clear, we are to let the peace of Christ rule. That means we have a choice. We have a choice about who or what is going to rule our hearts and minds. We can choose to be ruled by changing circumstances. We can choose to be ruled by emotion, by desire, by frustration. We can choose to be ruled by politics. But whenever we make that choice, we inevitably find ourselves looking for the missing piece. Paul says, if you will allow your life to be lived under the truth of Jesus' peace, under His grace, under His mercy, under the hope that He offers, if you will live your life under the umbrella of Christ's peace, you will discover that peace can prevail no matter the circumstance. So why not take the challenge of Paul and let the peace of Christ prevail in your life? Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how we make that happen on a very personal, relevant, real level. But I want to leave you today with a very simple truth that might help you and me take a significant step forward in allowing Christ's peace to prevail in our lives even this week. Paul, when he writes, "Let the peace of Christ prevail or rule in your hearts," he follows it up just a few words later in Colossians 3:16 by saying these words, "Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your life." Paul says it's the truth of Jesus, it's His Word, His grace, His love that should be the dominating message filling your heart and filling your mind. So here's the reality. The peace of Christ rules where the message of Christ fills our life. If you want the peace of Christ to rule, you've got to fill your life with the message, the grace, the truth, the hope of Jesus. That means that I have to make certain that there is an adequate supply of Christ's truth flowing into my heart and into my life. And I love to challenge you to do a simple evaluation. Ask yourself, what are the major voices speaking into your life? Where do the messages come from that dominate your thoughts? Dominate your mind. We live in a world where there is so much information. And if we're not careful, we wind up with all sorts of information that simply pushes aside the truth, the grace, the hope, the message of Jesus. What are the major voices that speak into your life? And could I ask you, as you evaluate those voices, could I ask you, what is one thing that you could do today that would increase the message of Christ in your life? What could you do to follow that challenge of Paul to let the message of Christ in all of its richness fill your life? It could be something as simple as spending a few minutes reading some scripture or in prayer, listening to some good music that shares the message of Jesus. Maybe first thing in the morning, that's how you start your day. Or taking some opportunities throughout the day to make sure that you shut off social media or shut off the news and you hear something from God's truth or God's Word. It might be very, very simple, but it could make a difference between you living with a peace that's all over the place based on circumstances, and you living with a prevailing peace of Jesus. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus offers us prevailing peace, and He offers it right here. He offers it right now. He knows what it's like to live in a world filled with turmoil. He knows what it's like to live in a world filled with chaos and uncertainty. And in the middle of it, He says, I'm offering you a gift of peace right here and right now. Could I remind you as we close out our time together this morning that this Lord of peace wants to give you peace at all times and in every situation. Our prayer for you during this Christmas season is that you will experience the peace of Jesus. And if you look at life today and you find that there is a missing piece, that you will discover the amazing good news of peace that Jesus offers to us this Christmas season. So would you join me as we pray together that we'll experience God's peace today? Jesus, we are so grateful that you come as the Prince of Peace. We're grateful that you promise us a peace that will prevail in our lives if we let that peace rule. So as we take some time this morning and evaluate where we are in our lives, I pray that you would help us to really look and see what are the messages that we are receiving on a regular basis into our heart and life that we are allowing to dictate the way we think and the way we live. Maybe we discover that there's too much of this or that that's coming in. It's distracting us from your truth, from your hope. Maybe we look at life and we realize that there are areas of life that we need to really surrender and submit to you, because it's in those areas that are outside of your rule that we find ourselves in chaos. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide and direct and lead and help us determine today that we will fill our hearts and mind with your message. And as we understand it more, as we experience it more, as we fill our hearts and minds with your truth and your love more and more, that we will experience your peace prevailing at all times and in every situation of our life. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name.